This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for the first hour. In this first hour, we're first going to get some comments from Peter Bugvar regarding some GDP numbers and the overall U.S. economy and markets. And then we are going to switch into the resource sector, as we do have PDAC right around the corner starting tomorrow on Sunday, as well as an update from Novo Resources. As I mentioned, I am kicking off the show with Peter Bugvar, the Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter, let's first start talking about the data point that came in this week that is GDP in Q4. 2.6% came in above estimates, still down from Q3, but as I said, this was above estimates, especially when we heard about some of the weakness that came in over the December, the Christmas period, in terms of retail sales. What was your takeaway from this GDP number?
Yeah, it was a pretty good report. The question, though, is sustainability. The area of particular strength was in the capital investment side, both on equipment and also technology. But what we've seen in the durable goods orders for the fourth quarter, now orders obviously precede actual productions and shipments, where GDP is actually capturing shipments. That has fallen at a 4% annualized rate. So Q1, we should give back in that Q4 strength in capital spending. Also, with respect to consumer spending, which is, of course, the largest chunk, that came in slightly below expectations, and at least we've seen the January auto sales that were somewhat soft. So there are estimates out there for a one handle in Q1 GDP. So while we'll take what we saw in the fourth quarter, it is old news, and it's not really helpful to where we stand today.
So one thing that was interesting about 2018 was we had tax cuts. We had a bunch of different drivers to U.S. GDP. Those really aren't expected. They're not going to happen this year. What are some of the other main drivers that you think people could point to as either driving the U.S. economy or further pulling it down from some of the recent numbers?
Well, with respect to the tax cut, at least, you know, those rates are obviously going to stay low. So that will be an ongoing help to economic activity, but in terms of the initial jolt and excitement that we saw last year, yes, that's sort of going to sort of ebb away. I think the question is how does the global economy respond when a deal with China is signed? And also, are the tariffs that are currently in place, are they going to come immediately off, or are they going to be used as an enforcement mechanism only to be taken off if China adheres to the deal? I think that's a really big deal. I think if the tariffs stay on, we're not going to get that sort of same rebound in growth on a trade deal as we would if they came off completely. So that remains to be seen. I don't think there's really yet been an indication from either Lighthizer speaking yesterday or from Trump's tweets about what will happen with that. There certainly will be a deal of some sort. But I think the direction of the tariffs, I think, will be a key driver in whether it lifts growth, because we're seeing slowing in China. We're seeing slowing throughout Asia. Certainly, we're seeing Germany barely missed a recession in Q4. And so the global economy is definitely moderated, and it's beginning to impact the U.S. But the markets are obviously placing their chips on a rebound on a China trade deal, in addition to, of course, the Fed backing off from their tightening cycle.
Yeah, there's still so many questions about what kind of a trade deal we are going to see out of the U.S. and China. I think everybody expects that we will see something signed, but any substantial changes, those are still very much in question. Now, we have talked a lot about the U.S. and China trade negotiations. What about some more news about U.S. and Europe trade negotiations?
That's a good question, because I think that's a big deal, particularly on the auto side. I think if you slap auto tariffs on Europe, you'll probably guarantee a global recession. I think that Trump is, while he's the quote-unquote tariff man, I think he will send a pretty harsh message from the markets in the fourth quarter last year that the markets don't like tariffs. And maybe they understand what he's trying to accomplish here in terms of opening up markets and lowering tariffs, generally speaking. The market doesn't like it. And we know he's very sensitive to the direction of the stock market. Therefore, I'm not expecting anything too punitive or harsh with respect to those discussions and potential tariffs.
Now, you've mentioned the U.S. markets, they drive data, you can also say, and so much of what the Fed has been quoting is now still more of a focus on what the markets have been doing, which then can lead into more data. But that Fed pause that we are fully in right now, do you see that changing this year? Do you see the Fed being able to either get in a rate hike this year, or do you see them fully reversing and going to a rate cut?
I think it depends on how the economy responds to that trade deal, as I mentioned. If growth continues to slow and there's no boost, then yeah, I think there's a high possibility the Fed is cutting by the end of the year. Because also, while they're going to be ending the shrinking in their balance sheet, well, until the fourth quarter, which is probably when they'll make it in the announcement, there's still that form of tightening going on. There's still that form of balance sheet shrinkage and sort of liquidity draw that is a form of tightening. But we're late cycle here, and now you have the growth overseas, and now you have pockets in the U.S. that are slowing. And as I mentioned earlier, you could have a one handle on Q1 GDP. So that certainly raises the odds that the Fed is going to be easing. But if that is the case, then we have to ask ourselves, okay, let's just say they are. Is it going to matter? They've only got the funds rate up to half. And we have a lot of debt on this economy, particularly on the corporate side and certainly on the government side. Is there going to be impetus to, on the private sector, to increase borrowing? Because you cut rates from 2.25, 2.5 down to, let's just call it 1%. It's not going to really matter. So people cannot rely on the Fed to save your quote unquote ass next time, because there isn't much room for them to do much.
Yeah, that is the problem that the Fed has gotten themselves into. They were slow to start raising rates and normalizing the balance sheet, and now they've had to end it even earlier than I think all of them wanted to. In terms of the U.S. markets, though, they seem to be running out of steam. That 2,800 level in the S&P was temporarily broken earlier this week, but that was only for a couple hours, and then it hasn't exactly fallen out of bed, but there is now a general rollover happening in the U.S. equity markets. Is there anything that you see that could save this rollover, or is this now a natural correction that, you know what, has been expected, but that rally did go on for longer than people expected?
Yeah, and it was very symmetrical to the sell-off. So you got back what you lost, but now you're back to, as you said, this big level of resistance that we keep over the past year bumping up against, and was only able to get above it for a short period of time in, you know, late August, early September. So I think a lot of it will be determined by this trade deal, since that's the nearest term sort of big picture catalyst. But we also have to pay attention to what's going on with earnings. Earnings growth and earnings expectations have only been falling year to date. So we entered the year with the consensus for the S&P 500 at about $172 a share. Now we're trending below 167. And if that continues and doesn't reverse itself on a trade deal, then yeah, this was just a bounce in a downward trending type market. Because right now, year to date, I think the rally's been predicated on the Fed and hopes for a trade deal rather than the underlying fundamentals, which have actually softened.
All right, Peter, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but I am bringing you back on next segment. We are going to continue our discussions over the major driving factors for U.S. economy, global economies, and the U.S. markets. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Peter Buchbaum.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design, right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. I am continuing my discussion with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Advisory Group. I also do want to mention that Peter does write a daily blog called The Book Report. Search up Peter Buchvar and The Book Report. You'll be able to find that website. I will also post a link below the interview on the Weekend Show posting to get to this website. It's a great synopsis of all the key data points that come out around the world and Peter's thoughts on it. Peter, let's get back into what we were talking about some of the global data. You even mentioned China and Asia in general slowing. Germany just narrowly avoided that recession. Nothing seems to be getting better around the world, and it's finally starting to pull the U.S. down.
Exactly. And if that doesn't reverse itself, it's going to have more of a pronounced impact. And, you know, China's trying to stimulate, but you know, we saw the manufacturing and services PMI numbers, and they continue to soften. So that global slowdown, I believe, will continue. And, you know, I talked about what the Fed is going to do in the next downturn. Well, what's the ECB going to do? They have rates that are already below zero. What are the Japanese going to do? They already spent every single foot. So that's going to differentiate the next downturn from previous ones.
All right, Peter, one other news event that came out of the Fed from some of the comments just over the last week talked about inflation and how they were willing to let inflation run over 2% in the so-called averaging it out for those years and months when it was under 2%. You wrote extensively about this over the week, and I think your comments very accurate and very astute. Can you share just how scary that concept is?
So I think if you change the analysis, or not, if you alter the wording of it and say, instead of saying inflation, say cost of living. So the Fed is basically saying, well, if we have a cost of living increase of, let's just say, 1.5% or 1 to 1.5 for a period of time, well, in order to achieve our 2% objective, it's okay to have inflation to run at 2.5 to 3 for a period of time to average out to 2. Well, is it really a good idea to see people's cost of living going up 2.5 to 3 because you want to play catch up to previous years of a low cost of living? Well, explain that to the person that's shopping and living paycheck to paycheck. I think the optics are terrible. I think in a consumer-led economy, you'd hurt real wages, you'd hurt consumer spending, and you'd probably send the economy into recession. And in addition, if you let inflation run, you'd also see probably a sharp rise in market set interest rates. So it's a really stupid idea. It's only in the halls of academia does it even gain any type of discussion or traction whatsoever. But, you know, it's what comes out of PhD economists.
Yeah, it really does. How does that impact, do you think, markets and the overall economy if the Fed can actually get inflation to over 2%? Because that's a whole other question here, is the fact of if inflation can even get that high.
Well, we're pretty much there on CPI. PCE is always trending below, and the Fed conveniently for them looks at PCE. But you'd see a sharp rise in interest rates, and you'd see slowing in consumer spending. At the same time that exports are moderating and capital spending is mixed, like I said, you put us right into recession if you got a sharp rise in interest rates above 2% for a sustained period.
Yeah, across the board, that just sounds like a horrible scenario for the economy and for the markets. How do you see the U.S. dollar playing out through all this? Because it has rolled over a little bit, but started to get a buy near the end of the week. It continues to trade at the higher part of this range now.
Yeah, but it's still in that range. You still, over multiple years, when the Fed started raising interest rates, the dollar is still in this range. It still hasn't broken out. And now that the Fed is pretty much done with their tightening cycle, I don't see any upward reason to be long the dollar. And if anything, expect the dollar to be weakening. The pound's all of a sudden trading better on Brexit. The euro continues to hang in really well around this 114, 115 level. You know, even the yen has been somewhat weak, but trading okay. And emerging market currencies have all rallied against the dollar. So I don't know if it's because of the Fed, it's worries about rising debts and deficits. And if the Fed does play this game of trying to generate higher inflation, and if they succeed, well, that's very currency negative.
And that is what could be finally breaks the dollar out of this trading range. But do you see a scenario here where for a number of months, markets on a broad sense, currencies as well as the dollar, could very much stay within these trading ranges as everyone tries to figure out just what happens with trade and future data?
Yeah, I mean, I think the next big catalyst is going to be what the trade deal is going to look like. And I think markets will adjust depending on what they see, and specifically on the life expectancy of these current tariffs. and what the direction of growth is going to be. If we're going to see growth below 2% in Q1, is that just a temporary first quarter lull and then we rebound? It's tough to game out this year. It's tough to have a confident big picture, how full year opinion of how this is all going to work out by year end. It's okay. We know what we have to look for, and we have to see how these things play out.
Yeah, that is very true. And you know what? We have seen money, even when it was flowing into the U.S. markets, it was also flowing into some of these safer assets as well. Does it feel like to you as well that money managers or money in a broad sense is hitting a more wide range of markets, not simply just the risk-on assets?
Well, it's interesting because we've seen a very sharp rally in REITs and electric utilities, which have gotten back to their highs. But at the same time, we've seen a strong bounce in industrials. So I'm not sure, what does that say? Now, obviously, REITs and utilities are probably rallying because we've seen the sharp drop in rates, and industrials are rallying on the hopes for a China trade deal. So it's not totally incoherent in terms of its messaging. But now that we've had this rally, now is really the test. And as we said earlier, that 2800 level is going to be a big deal for a period of time.
So where is the sweet spot? To wrap us up here, is it putting some more money at play in a broad sense, or is it right now holding a larger cash position and waiting for a lot of these question marks to play themselves out, even if it takes a number of months?
I'm a fan of holding a bigger than expected cash portion, especially after this big run that we've seen. But again, the run has just taken us back to where we were in November. No progress has been made. I still like more so the emerging markets rather than the U.S. markets because they're cheaper. And I think many of them have already gone through their own bear markets. And I think value stocks are going to come into favor in the U.S. more so than the chasing of growth, because people are much more sensitive to valuations nowadays. And you look at what the market has done to certain stocks like Stamps.com or Weight Watchers. If you miss, you know, there's no mercy whatsoever. Therefore, you got to have that margin of safety and usually get that in value-type stocks.
So it really is. It sounds like looking for those undervalued stocks, the ones or the sectors, too, that have gone through a pretty tough time, whether it has been a full-on bear market or, quite frankly, just not kept up with some of those hotter sectors. Is that correct?
Yep, agreed.
All right, Peter Buchvart, always great having you on the show. It's a value to have you join us on a regular basis. Again, Peter is the Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
House Democrats on the Oversight Committee set a Monday deadline for the White House to turn over documents related to security clearances. There are questions surrounding how the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, got his top-secret clearance. Democratic Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy accuses Kushner of using his influence to help his real estate business.
He has tremendous financial vulnerabilities, including 666 Fifth Avenue, which is deeply in debt. He's going around the world seeking investments into that property.
Attorneys for President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, are urging a judge for less time than the 19 to 24 years recommended under sentencing guidelines. He was convicted of 8 counts of fraud last year. Manafort will be sentenced on Thursday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised, we are getting some more comments into the precious metals and just resource sector in general, as we do have that PDAC conference right around the corner starting tomorrow on Sunday and running for 4 days. To get some comments on the precious metals sector, I am chatting with Matt Zablosky. He is the managing director over at Delbrook Capital. I've had Matt on a couple times, and I have to say I do really appreciate what Delbrook Capital is doing, really focusing on the precious metals and the resource sector in general, running their funds and their investment products to focus on a niche that, quite frankly, we have seen other funds and other money managers running away from. That's the first thing I want to talk about here, Matt, is the fact that we continue to see funds shutting down. We're seeing more money, quite frankly, flow into ETFs, which in the long run just do not actually help companies. They don't actually put any money in the company's bank accounts to go out and continue to explore, develop their projects. Can you share this trend that we've been seeing, some of your insights into the fact that funds continue to be, well, running away from the sector?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head, exactly what you have to focus on. The trend for capital in the space has flown almost entirely to ETFs. And the problem with that, you know, is the capital does not filter down to the opcos. The ETFs typically are just buying equity positions in the market, thereby not allowing primary investment for exploration, development, et cetera, into the opcos. On the active management side, we've seen countless fund curtailments in the last 12 to 18 months globally. Those have been from anywhere from large to mid-cap managers within the natural resource space. At Delbrook, you know, we track these very closely, and, you know, for us, we see it as a huge opportunity given our technical team to take advantage of active management in the space, because quite honestly, the sector is becoming becoming less competitive as funds are curtailed and specialty firms are removed from the natural resource space. So, you know, unfortunately, in a sector that is as cyclical as this, this is what happens. But I think, you know, we embrace the opportunity and see brighter days ahead for active managers in the space.
So when you talk about the cycles within the resource sector, does this, to you, signify the bottom of what has been a pretty drawn-out bear market, or is there even more money to flee the sector?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to call tops and bottoms of the sector. You know, it's actually near impossible, and people who think they can do it, I that's completely false. What we focus on entirely is, you know, not necessarily on, what other funds are doing. You know, we spend a lot of time, building conviction in the commodities underlying the opcos. So when we look at the commodity space right now in general, and I'll be, you know, very high level general, there's a lot of macro factors and micro factors within the commodities that are actually very bullish. And I'm sure we've all heard this. We've heard of the inventory levels. We've heard of, you know, declines in grade, increases in cash costs. Those are all very good for commodity prices at the end of the day. So we focus on that. Inventory levels and things like copper and zinc, I'm sure we've all seen, are at, you know, multi-decade lows. So for us, that's a positive. Now, the problem is you need to curtail that into how do you invest your capital, and we do it in a cautious manner here at Delbrook, both long and short. I like to tell you we're closer to the bottom than the top, but our investment style allows us to be flexible and generate alpha regardless of sort of where we are in the cycle. That said, we are running our funds net long right now with the idea, as I mentioned, that we're closer to the bottom than the top.
Okay, I think you make a very good point there, is that don't try to be picking those tops and those bottoms right on, because quite frankly, people that tell you that they do that, they're usually wrong more often, well, always, than they are right. But when you talk about focusing on individual companies, you can always see companies buck the trend, even when the underlying resource is moving down. But one of the focuses always has to be what's going on in the M&A world within the resource or within any sector. And what we seem to be seeing within the resource sector is more M&A and consolidations at the top of the pyramid with all these majors. What does that speak to you when we've seen a number of majors combine? And just this week, we got more news that Barrick was taking a run at Newmont.
Right. I mean, that obviously, in our opinion, sort of does mark a turning point for the sector. Typically, what you see at the sector is, you know, M&A activity picking up, and that's driven by, you know, both the commodity cycle itself and valuations. Specific to the Newmont Barrick Goldcorp situation, I mean, that to me is, a transaction at the top that looks to make sense. The spreads on the transaction have tightened up materially. So to us, that looks like something that that may potentially go through. But I think, you know, more importantly, it speaks to the sector in general. On the back of any transaction that goes on between those two or three groups, you're going to have massive asset dispositions, estimates anywhere from $5 to $10 billion worth of assets. And that really is an opportunity, in our opinion, to see the mid-caps or the smaller producers acquire assets and build as you typically see at the bottom of a cycle. So, you know, for us, we're at the moment neutral on the precious metals market in terms of the way that we invest our capital. But we are looking at this and saying, you know, with the transaction on the back of it, this will allow more generalists to come into the space to look at larger companies as assets are disposed of and picked up by intermediate producers. So, you know, really at the end of the day, the trend we believe that will happen in the next 12 to 18 months is, the closing of a couple major transactions amongst the big precious metals producers, followed by a period of accelerated M&A and asset purchases by the mid-caps to sort of become larger, because at this point in time, it's obvious that the market's beginning to look at scale, and that's obviously important. So that's our opinion on the M&A activity.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying, too. With these majors, they're going to need to get their operations in order and deal with all these new projects and marginal projects that they have on their books. And that is where these mid-caps can really start to benefit. Do you see the mid-caps, even after maybe acquiring some of these projects from these majors, when they start to dispose of them, also then looking to some of the juniors and them being the ones to put some capital at play in these exploration companies? Because quite frankly, that's the only place that these exploration companies have been getting money from, is other larger companies within the sector.
Right. Look, I think it's, you know, not surprising to anybody that the purse strings at the majors will probably tighten up a bit on the back of these transactions. You know, that should give an opportunity for the mid-caps, especially those that are producing at good cash margins, to fill the void and opportunistically put money into juniors where they potentially could not have competed with the majors previously. So I think it's a real opportunity for a select group of intermediate producers to really focus on some of the smaller, say, early-stage development, late-stage exploration plays, put some capital at risk, and build you know, at a cheaper equity valuation, build ounces for future development. So it is an opportunity. We'll see if they grasp it. But that group of select sort of intermediate producers isn't as big as people would think. And so they really need to, you know, take the bull by the horns here and see this opportunity where I think some of the majors may be distracted both by asset dispositions and other larger merger activities.
Okay, now one thing that we kind of have been alluding to is that even though the market and the stocks have been under pressure in a broad sense, there are still some stocks getting noticed, and there are also some explorations, some discoveries getting noticed and getting more money flowing into them. Their share price has been going up for some companies that I can think of. Can you share with us any companies that you guys are focused on that you think they're doing it right or outperforming the market?
Yeah, sure. I mean, on the precious metal side, as I mentioned, we're focused on some of the single name producers, names like Atlantic Gold, names like Torex. You know, those are two companies, single assets, you know, we believe, being operated very, very well. Those companies themselves may be M&A targets, but if not, we can see them spending some of their free cash flow in an accretive manner, to further drive shareholder value.
All right. Hey, Matt, it's great having you on the show. I very much respect what you are doing over at Delbrook Capital. As we said, a lot of funds are shutting down, and you guys are out there being selective and investing in companies that really make sense from a fundamental and technical standpoint. If anybody wants more information on Delbrook Capital, please just email me, fleck@kereport.com. Matt, again, really appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm happy to report in this segment we are getting an update from Novo Resources and the president and chairman, Quentin Henny. Novo is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. I first want to thank all of our listeners for sending me emails, commenting on our site with your questions. There was, again, a number of questions that came in, and I'm going to try to get Quentin to address as many as we can within this segment. Quentin, the first question that is more a broad question on the communication that is currently underway between Kirkland Lake, Sprott, and Novo Resources. I think everybody knows the close relationship between the three of you, but can you give us any update as to how that is all going, how much insight, how much active management does Kirkland Lake and Sprott have on this ongoing exploration at Novo?
Sure, Coy. First of all, as people are aware, Kirkland Lake is our largest shareholder. They hold about 18.5% of the issued shares at present. We've maintained a very good relation with them. We've got updates that we provide on a routine basis. They're letting us do the heavy lifting at this point. You know, they put the money in. They recognize the work that we have to do on this project to move it forward, and we're doing that work. I think the main line of communication I have is probably through Eric. Eric's the director of the company, and we talk on occasion and regular updates and so forth. So that's where we stand. Everything's good on that front. We're looking forward to working with them more this year.
Okay. Yeah, I think some people are just wondering because it did seem to get a little bit quiet there in terms of Kirkland Lake or Sprott talking about Novo, but I think that's also just a function of you guys continuing to figure out how to best explore that large, large land package that you have. Can you also address the fact that when it seemed like this story first got underway, it was all about grade, pulling nuggets out of the ground, the potential of astronomical grades. It seems like now, as you've learned a bit more about the project, it's turning more into a large-scale new tech story. How is this balancing out?
Yeah, so if you wind back the clock, look at the first work we did out there. A lot of it was driven by trenching and sampling of discrete units. In particular, as we learned more and more about the stratigraphy, we recognized that the bulk of the gold at say, Purdy's Reward was concentrated down towards the bottom of the conglomerate sequence, so basically sitting more or less immediately above the basement horizon. Over at Comet Well, as we moved over there last year and started working, we recognized two gold horizons there. There's one at or near the basement contact. It's, you know, say 2 or 3 meters thick. There's another one sitting a few meters above that, about 15 meters above. We have a second unit. It took us a little while to sort out the geology, but what we found is that the upper unit at Comet Well is actually the one that extends over and becomes the one that sits directly on basement over at Purdy's Reward. What we found as far as grade goes is that it's largely dependent on the thickness of samples that one collects there. So, for example, you know, early on we were collecting samples that were, thinner, you know, and less regulated. Like, in other words, we didn't have a standard sampling protocol sorted out in the early days. Of course, some of those generated high grades, some of them generated low grades. It was kind of erratic because the bulk sample size was quite small. As we progressed things, we started taking systematic samples. These were 2 by 2 meter panels that were chiseled out of the rock. These were samples that ranged from, say, 5 to 15 tons each. And once we collected samples on that scale, we recognized the grades were more in the, say, 1 to 4.5 gram range, or actually, I think 1 to 6 gram range. So it looks more like at a mining scale, say on the order of a few meters, 2-3 meter thick. We're dealing with a system that's running 2-3 grams, perhaps as a whole, and that's not all that dissimilar to, say, the Beaton's Creek deposit and other conglomerates that we've looked at in the Pilbara. It's pretty typical for these. One of the comments I made last year was that if you look at the endowment of gold on a, say, a per square kilometer basis, given those grades, it's actually commensurate with what one would expect in the Witwatersrand. You know, it's different gold. It's coarse gold. It's not like the Witz. It's not thin little pebble conglomerates like they have in the Witz. But, you know, it's coarse gold. It's bouldery conglomerates, you know, thicker units. But overall, on a per square kilometer basis, there's approximately the same amount of gold in these units as there is, say, in much of the you know, gold field of Witwatersrand in South Africa. And then about the technical side, let me extend that. So people know that we've done these ore sorting tests. These use mechanical rock sorters. The testing we did was with Tomra, which is a company that generates sorting machines, you know, partly specifically for mining purpose, which we're looking at. This is one of the first cases where, you know, sorting has been used specifically to pick coarse gold, you know, in rock. So we crushed up the rocks, put them through the sorter, and the machine worked remarkably well at picking out rock particles that had embedded within them gold nuggets. All right, so that proved to be just fantastic result. We see this as a potential means for helping us with future sampling, as well as you know, potentially down the road, you know, commercial applications for recovery of gold. So if people think it's kind of shifted in that direction, I guess there is an element of that. What ore sorting does for us, though, is it allows us to you know, grab rock, crush it up, put it through a sorter, and get quicker, or, you know, better results quicker, like feedback quicker, so that we can see where the gold is. In effect, it provides us feedback on, you know, things for like grade control.
All right, one more quick question regarding relationships before we get into more of that, well, the exploration tactics that you're using. Can we get a quick comment on Artemis Resources, the JV that you have with Artemis? Somebody pointed out that Artemis has been in dire straits since the reorganization. Does this impact the JV at all?
You know, we've maintained a good relation with Artemis. They have had some changes in personnel lately. Management directors. The Sheikh Maktoum is now the chairman of the company. I have reached out to the Sheikh. He's a very nice fellow. We've had a good chat or two. Wayne Bramall, their CEO, I think is a very competent, capable guy. He's done a reasonably good job with the technical work that they've kind of mandated within the company. But I do think that they're looking to kind of reorganize things a bit. Where that lands and where how it relates to us, don't quite know yet. But, you know, we try to maintain a very good relation with them and look forward to continuing to work with them.
All right, let's move on now to some of the more broad exploration questions regarding greenfield exploration on that 10,000 square kilometer tenement package that you have. Any news that we can expect soon or any developments here on the greenfields exploration?
Yeah, this is a very good question. Last year, as people know, we kind of shifted and did some greenfields work over towards the Edgen area that led to the acquisition of some ground over there. You know, it's an extension of the conglomerate story. It's about 130 kilometers east of Comet Well, so it shows that the conglomerate system is quite large. At Edgen, not only do we have the conglomerates, but we have the gravels that had been washed off the hills, and the gold has been reconstituted in these lag gravel horizons. These are free-digging gravel horizons that we found in the terrace flats down below the outcropping conglomerate. Okay, so we've now learned from that exercise that there's great deal of value in greenfield's work along that unconformity and chasing it further, you know, between Comet Well and Edgina, as well as other areas extending beyond Edgina further east. You know, to put it in perspective, Beaton's Creek, which is nearly 350 kilometers east of Comet Well, is in the same package as a rock here. You know, like this is all part of the Fortescue Basin. So if you can kind of wrap your mind around, this is an enormous area. It's an absolutely enormous area. And we're seeing things in Edgina, which kind of bridge, you know, geologically bridge the deposits we have at Comet Well, which are at the bottom of the Fortescue Group, with what we're seeing clear over Beaton's Creek, which is up in the Hardy Formation, you know, somewhat above the base. So, look, I would say that Greenfields is very important for us. We're going to look at those, you know, areas between the known occurrences, and we're going to definitely we have a lot of that ground under control. So we're going to definitely expand our horizons there and take a lot of what we've learned and really hit it hard this year.
All right, Quentin, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but please, everyone listening on the radio, visit our website, kereport.com, and Quentin Henny and I will continue this discussion. We just had so many questions come in that I really could not limit it just to the time restrictions on the radio. And everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in this weekend. If anybody is at the PDAC conference in Toronto, be sure to visit the companies that I have on this show. Mention that you hear them on our show, and please feel free to ask any questions. And as always, keep in touch with me, Fleck at kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.